Hello and welcome to BIX is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of BIX Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. I am Albert Haim and this is WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the BIXography website. In the BIX is Alive program, I will play recordings and talk about the music and the life of BIX Beiderbecke. I will also play recordings by other musicians, past and present, who play in a style influenced and or reminiscent of BIX's unique approach to music. In the programs, I will feature various segments. In some instances, I will have a battle of the bands. On other occasions, I will focus on one particular musician or a theme as the centerpiece of the program. At other times, I will simply play recordings that I enjoy. The centerpiece of today's program is Miffmore. What I propose to do is to play a number of recordings by vocalists accompanied by Miffmore. Let me first read what the Red Hot Jazz website tells us about Irving Miffmore, 1898-1961. Miffmore started his musical career playing violin and accompanying silent pictures on the piano, but later he switched to trombone. His career in jazz music began with Gus Sharp's orchestra. He then went on to play with the band leader comedian Jimmy Durante. He joined the original Memphis Five and played on and off with them until 1924. In 1923, he met Red Nichols and went on to make many records with bands directed by Red Nichols or under the name of Miffmore and His Little Molars. However, in 1927, he started working as a studio musician, and Moore played very little jazz during the next couple of decades. He played with Paul Wineman during 1938-1940 and was with Benny Goodman in 1943. He returned to small group jazz in the mid-1940s, playing with Eddie Condon and recording for Commodore under the name of Miffmore and His Nixieland Band. Moore's health declined in the 1950s, and he was largely forgotten by the greater jazz world by the time of his death in 1961. Richard Solhalter in Lost Scores has a very nice chapter about Miffmore. All right, let's get going with the music. The first two recordings I want to play are by Annette Henshaw. And let me read again from the Red Hot Jazz website a little bit of information about Annette. 1901-1985. Annette Henshaw was a popular singer and radio star of the 1920s and early 30s who had many jazz overtones in her singing style. She stepped out of her role of a torch singer and improvised and had a great deal of swing that hearkened to the big band singers of the 1930s. She was viewed by the public as the epitome of a flapper. Many of her early records feature many of the hot white players of the day like Red Nichols, Miffmore, Phil Napoleon, Joe Venuti, Eddie Lang, Adrian Rollini, Vic Burton, Benny Goodman, Jimmy Dorsey, Tommy Dorsey, and Jack Teagarden. Henshaw was billed as the personality girl, and her trademark was girlishly saying, "That's all," at the end of a lot of her records. Henshaw recorded under a number of pseudonyms, which included Ethel Bingham, Dot Dare, Gay Ellis, Marion Lee, Janet Shaw, Lilia Sanford, and Patsy Young. Annette never thought much of her abilities as a singer and retired from show business in 1935. Okay, let's get started with the music. The first two recordings that I'm going to play by Annette Henshaw are Black Bottom and 6 Feet of Papa. These were recorded on September 12, 1926, and I believe they are the first commercial recordings of Annette Henshaw. Before that, she did some tests, but I don't know that they were issued in any form. The musicians who accompanied Annette in this particular set of recordings are Red Nichols on trumpet, Miff Mole on trombone, Jimmy Lytell clarinet, Irving Brodsky piano, there is a banjo and a brass bass. So let's listen then to Annette Henshaw with Miff Mole, 1926.
But it makes the doggies feel like strutting around. By watching, they found a way to imitate it. I know they exaggerated, but I wish that you could see the dance that they found. Every highbrow gal and a bonbon buddy go down where the flats are muddy to do a step that soon will be renowned. They call this Black Bottom. You twist them, you've got them. Oh, sister, they clap their hands and do a raggedy drop. Said, ah. Oh, fellows, alone they go and high yellers. Away they go, they jump right in, give it all that they've got. They say, when that river bottom covered with ooze, stop in the squirm, couple dance, is the movement they use. Just like a worm, black bottom, a new rhythm, when you bottom, go with them.
La dee da da dee, da da
arithmetic when I went to school. Adding and subtraction drove me to distraction. I never made the seventh grade. Still, I'm not a fool. You get 11, but I get heaven, 'cause that 6 feet of papa belongs to me. Now if you think I'm lying, try multiplying 6 feet of blisses times 50 kisses. Every night we're rehearsing the answer you see. I've had sweeties 4 feet four. Now I've got me 2 feet more. Does he thrill me through and through? Well, you can bet your boots he do. And 6 feet of papa, 5 feet of mama. You get 11, but I get heaven, 'cause that 6 feet of papa belongs to me.
Next two recordings are by Sophie Tucker. And first let me read what the website sophietucker.com tells us about Sophie. Born Sonia Kalish to a Jewish family en route to a new life in America from Tsarist Russia in 1887, Sophie Tucker would become one of the greatest and most beloved entertainers of the 20th century. The singer, comedian, TV, film, and radio personality grew from humble roots in Hartford, Connecticut, where her family appropriated the last name Abuza and opened a restaurant. In addition to helping maintain the family business, Sophie began singing for tips at an early age and discovered her powerful voice and innate knack for entertaining. At 16, Sophie married local heartthrob Louis Tuck, from whom she would derive her famous last name, and soon after gave birth to her son Bert. The rocky marriage and jump into motherhood exposed Sophie to a bleak future ahead if she chose to stay close to home and abandon her theatrical dreams. With heartbreaking determination, Sophie left her child to be raised by her younger sister, Anna, and left Hartford for New York City. With just $90 in her pocket, Sophie was determined to make a name for herself and find success that would allow her to give back to her beloved family. The harsh reality of roughing it in New York didn't faze the ingenue, and after pounding the pavement and pinching pennies, Sophie eventually found work performing vaudeville and burlesque in local establishments. However, being pegged too fat and ugly to perform as herself, Sophie was restricted to performing in blackface as a coon shouter. While she made a name for herself with this act, a a happy accident which left her without her makeup kit one day in 1909 forced Sophie to go on stage naturally. That is, as natural as a full-figured girl in a sequin ball gown and golden curls can be. The crowd adored her and thought that this guy was gone for good. She would continue to draw on ragtime, blues, and jazz influences, which were primarily African-American genres at the time. After a brief but acclaimed stint in the legendary extravagant Ziegfeld Follies, Sophie gained traction that would send her on the road until her death from lung cancer in 1966. Amassing an extraordinary fan base, Tucker enjoyed the success of many popular records, most notably including My Yiddish Mommy and Some of These Days, the latter of which became the title of her 1945 autobiography. Sophie appeared in several films during her lengthy career, including one of the first talkies, Honky Tonk, in 1929, and alongside Judy Garland in 1937's Broadway Melody of 1938. Deemed the last of the Red Hot Mamas, Tucker was adored for her candor, bold sense of humor, powerful voice, and unwavering energy as a performer and as a woman. Sophie never fit the typical Hollywood beauty mold, but presented herself and her body in an empowering way that shut down any preconceptions of superficial standards. Sophie continues to be celebrated as a groundbreaking entertainer and transcendent example of the American dream. The two recordings that I want to play by Sophie Tucker are from April 11, 1927. She's accompanied by Miff Maul's Maulers, Red Nichols on trumpet, Miff Maul trombone, Jimmy Dorsey clarinet, alto sax, Tad Shapiro piano, Eddie Lang guitar, Joe Tardo brass bass, Vic Burton on drums. And the two numbers are After You've Gone First and Then I Ain't Got Nobody. So here is Sophie Tucker with Miff Maul and his Maulers. 1927.
Now won't you listen, honey, while I say, how could you tell me that you're going away? Don't say that we must part. Don't break my aching heart. You know I loved you truly for many years. I loved you night and day. How can you leave me? Can't you see my tears? Listen while I say, after you've gone and left me crying, after you've gone, there's no denying, you'll feel blue, you'll feel sad, you'll miss the bestest pal you've ever had. There'll come a time, now don't forget it, there'll come a time when you'll regret it. Someday, when you grow lonely, your heart will break like mine, and you'll want me only after you've gone. After you've gone away. After you've gone, there's no denying, you'll feel blue, you'll feel sad, you'll miss the bestest pal you've ever had. There'll come a time, now don't forget it. There'll come a time when you'll regret it. Oh, babe, think what you're doing. You know my love for you will drive me to ruin. After you've gone, after you've gone away. Begin to think it's true. It's awful hard to love someone when they don't care a thing about you. Once I had a loving man as good as any in this town, but now I'm sad and lonely. He's gone and turned me down. I ain't got nobody, and nobody cares about me. I'm so sad and lonely. Won't somebody come on and take a chance with me? I'll sing love songs all the time if you'll come and be my sweet daddy mine. I ain't got nobody, and nobody cares about me. I ain't got nobody, and nobody, nobody cares about me. I'm so sad and lonely. Won't somebody come on and make a fuss over me? I'll sing love songs all the time if you'll come and be mine, sweet daddy mine. I ain't got nobody, and nobody cares about me. And I shout that nobody, nobody cares about me.
The next two recordings are going to be by Cliff Edwards. Again, I'm going to read from the Red Hot Jazz website quite a bit of information about Cliff Edwards' ukulele, like 1895, 1971. He got his start in show business as a teenager in St. Louis, where he sang in movie theaters and saloons. While singing in the saloons, he began to accompany himself on the ukulele and developed a style of improvised singing, which he called effing. Effing sounds a lot like the human voice imitating a hot trumpet or kazoo solo. Edwards had a wonderful voice with at least a 3-octave range, and he would inject his effing solos into his songs in the same way that a jazz musician would take a solo. A good argument can be made that Edwards' 1922 recordings with the Ladd's Black Aces and Bailey's Lucky Seven are the first recorded examples of scat singing, but some jazz critics would disagree and point back to Gene Green's 1911 Victor recording, King of the Bungalow. Between 1913 and 1918, Edwards struggled to make a living traveling with carnivals and doing menial labor to get by. In 1917, he moved to Chicago, where he took a job as a singer in the Arsonia Cafe, going to tables and singing and playing the ukulele for tips. It was here that he started using the stage name of Ukulele Ike. The pianist at the club was Bob Carlton, who had written a novelty song that he called Jada. Cliff became a sensation singing the song, and he and Joe Frisco, a stuttering comedian and dancer, formed a vaudeville act that was successful enough to end up playing at the Palace in New York City. It is interesting to note that Frisco, was instrumental in bringing Tom Brown's Dixieland Jazz Band north from New Orleans in 1915. After appearing in the Ziegfeld Follies, Edwards and Frisco's act came to an end and Cliff teamed up with another dancer and singer named Pierce Keegan. They billed their act as Pierce Keegan Jazz As Is and Cliff Edwards Ukulele Icon toured the vaudeville circuit, performed in Ziegfeld's Midnight Frolic in 1919 and recorded 5 songs for Columbia, which unfortunately were never issued. The act broke up in mid-1920 and Edwards then teamed up with Luke Clayton, who would later work with Jimmy Durante in vaudeville. In 1922, Edwards recorded his first records with Led's Black Aces and Bailey's Lucky Seven. In 1924, Edwards hit the big time when he appeared in George Gershwin's Lady Be Good on Broadway and introduced the song Fascinating Rhythm and stole the show. He went on to score other big successes in other Broadway productions and become a major star of vaudeville. When we think of the 1920s, the image of a crooner with a ukulele comes to mind. This image is based on Edwards' popularity and his uke. Throughout the 1920s, Edwards recorded with top jazz talents like Adrian Verlini, Red Nichols, Miff Maul, Vic Burton, Joe Tardo, among others. The records released under the name of Cliff Edwards and his hot combination are of particular jazz interest. 1929, Edwards scored another hit with a version of Singing in the Rain in the movie The Hollywood Review of 1929, and this role established him as a film star. He went on to appear in more than 100 motion pictures. Throughout the 1930s and early 1940s, Edwards continued to be a much sought-out actor in Hollywood. His singing in film roles led him to be cast as the voice of Jiminy Cricket in the Disney animated feature Pinocchio. Cliff sang the song When You Wish Upon a Star in the film, and it won an Oscar for Best Song in 1940. His rendition of this song is one of the great popular vocal performances of the 20th century, and it became the theme of the Disney Corporation. Edwards went on to be the voice of Jim Crow in the animated feature Dumbo and star in the Durango Kid B-movie westerns. It is estimated that Edwards sold 74 million records during his career. Despite all of this success and earning millions of dollars in his career, he went bankrupt several times due to alimony payments, income tax troubles, gambling, alcoholism, and drug addiction. His star faded in the 1950s and 1960s, and Edwards died broke and on welfare in 1971, a forgotten man. All right, the two numbers that I want to play by Cliff Edwards are Sweet Child, I'm Wild About You, and I Want Somebody to Cheer Me Up. They were recorded in January 1926. And he's accompanied by his hot combination, which in this particular recording consists of Red Nichols, cornet, Miff Maul, trombone, Bobby Davis, alto sax, Arthur Schott, or Irving Brodsky on piano. There's a banjo, there's his own ukulele, and Joe Tardo on brass bass, Vic Burton on drums. So let's listen then to Cliff Edwards accompanied by Miff Maul, 1926.
Putting it mild, sweet child, I'm wild about you. man, sweet child, I'm wild about you. I've got a flat, got a cat and kittens too. I've got a mat that I bought to welcome you. Sweet child, I'm putting a smile. Say I'm pet true, sweet child, I'm wild about you.
The next two recordings I want to play are by Evelyn Prier. Let me give you a little bit of information about her. This comes from the blackpest.org website. Evelyn Prier, 1896-1932, one of the first African-American silent screen actresses to transition into sound Hollywood films, was born on July 21st, 1896, in Vicksburg, Mississippi. After her father's death, Prayer and her mother relocated to Chicago, Illinois, where she completed high school before pursuing acting. Prayer's big break came when she landed a role in Oscar Micheaux's first film, The Homesteader, 1919, in which she played a tragically unhappy woman abandoned by her husband for a mulatto woman whom he believed to be white. Impressed with her talent, Micheaux and cast Prayer in several roles in which she generally played dramatic characters, challenging many of the prevailing black film stereotypes. Prayer expanded her acting abilities into the area of theater, frequently alternating between the screen and stage as she became a staple for Micheaux's dramatic films and an esteemed actress for the Lafayette Players. Prayer met and married stage actor Edward Thompson while traveling with the Players, and the duo headlined productions for the traveling section of the Lafayette Players throughout the early 1920s. Bill Prayer's impressive theatricality led her to Broadway, where she recorded with the legendary music composer Duke Ellington, performed with Ethel Waters, and won acclaim for her role as Sadie Thompson in the revival of Somerset Maugham's classic melodrama Rain. By the end of the decade, Prayer's versatility led her to Hollywood, where she became a contract player for Paramount Studios. She appeared in productions of The Framing of the Shrew, 1928, Melancholy Dame, 1928, and Off in the Silly Night, 1928. Although her roles were often uncredited, The Framing of the Shrew became the most notable Hollywood role as she portrayed her comedic and vocal talents into her act. Prayer's career on the silver screen would have perhaps broadened further had she not developed parturition complications and died of double pneumonia in November 1932 at the age of 36, just months after giving birth to her only child, Francesca Senior Thompson. Okay, let's play the two numbers that I have for Evelyn Prayer. First, Sunday, and then Cockadoodle. I'm off my doodle. My baby's back. This is November 23rd, 1926. She's accompanied by her gang. It consists of Red Nichols, trumpet, Biff Mall, trombone, Alfie Evans or Dick Johnson, clarinet, alto sax, Peter D. Rose, or Rube Bloom on piano, on kazoo. So let's listen then to Evelyn Prayer with Biff Mall, 1926.
Thank you.
And then comes Thursday, deeper it grows. It never goes by. Friday makes me feel like I wanna die. I say that I'm blue. Every Monday I'm thinking over Sunday, that one day when I'm with you, you do. I sigh all day Tuesday, I cry all day Wednesday. Oh my, how I long for you. And then comes Thursday, he's long, he never goes by. Friday makes me feel like I wanna die. After payday, that's my fun day. I shine all day Sunday, the day when I'm with you. I'll never thought my baby'd go away. Left me crying, skies were gray, now they're lighter. And today, things are brighter. I feel just like shouting. I want to shout, hey, hey. Happy doodle, I'm off my noodle. I'm through wearing a frown. Baby's back, my baby's back. Honky, honky, doodle. I'm off my noodle, soon my arms will be around. My baby's back, my baby's back. I've made my mind up. We were all through before, and I'd wind up, loving him more and more. Cock-a-doodle, I'm off my noodle, I'm through dressing in black, 'cause baby's back, my baby's back.
Now for the last vocalist featured in today's program, I move to Kate Smith. And I have a bit of information about her from her own website, katesmith.org. Catherine Elizabeth Smith was born May 1st, 1907 in the nation's capital. From an early age, she loved to sing and dance. She performed locally in theaters and at nightclubs and was discovered by a New York City show producer in 1926. She was featured in the musical comedy Honeymoon Lane on Broadway and later in Hit the Deck and Flying High. She was discovered in 1930 by Columbia Records Vice President Ted Collins, who became her partner and manager and put her on the radio in 1931. She was an immediate success and on the air, and she soon broke the record for longevity at the legendary Palace Theater. In 1932, she had a famous role in Paramount's The Big Broadcast. Then she starred in her own movie, Hello Everybody, with co-stars Randolph Scott and Sally Blank. 1943, she sang God Bless America in the Irving Berlin picture This is the Army. Kate began making records in 1926. Among her biggest hits were River Stay Away From My Door, 1931, The Woodpecker Song, 1940, The White Cliff of Dover, 1941, I Don't Want to Walk Without You, 1942, There Goes That Song Again, 1944, Seems Like Old Times, 1946, and Now Is the How, 1947. In the 50s, she began making LP albums with such bestsellers as Kate Smith at Carnegie Hall, 1963, How Great Thou Art, 1965, and America's Favorites, 1967. Her theme song was When the Moon Comes Over the Mountain, whose lyrics she helped write. Irving Berlin regarded the song she made most famous, God Bless America, as his most important composition. Kate predicted in 1938 that the song would still be sung long after all of us are gone, and it surely will. She had the most popular radio variety hour, the Kate Smith Hour, which aired weekly from 1937 to 1945. At the same time, she had the number one daytime radio show, the midday Kate Smith Speaks, a news and commentary program. In 1950, Kate entered television with a Monday-Friday afternoon variety show, the Kate Smith Hour, 1950-54. It proved so popular that NBC gave her primetime show on Wednesday evenings, the Kate Smith Evening Hour. Her last TV series was CBS's The Kate Smith Show, a weekly half-hour musical series in 1960. She made guest appearances on top TV shows such as The Ed Sullivan Show, The Tennessee Ernie Ford Show, The Jack Parr Show, ABC Hollywood Palace, The Dean Martin Show, The Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour, The Andy Williams Show, The Tony Orlando and Don Show, and The Donnie and Marie Show. During the last decade of her career, Kate gave dozens of live concerts in various American cities. In 1972-73, she had extended engagements at the largest nightclub in the Reno area, giving two shows every day. Kate ended her career on a high note. She became singing Good Luck Charm for the Philadelphia Players hockey team with her renditions of God Bless America, helping to inspire them to two successive Stanley Cups, 1974 and 75. In 1976, she was named Grand Marshal of the Tournament of Roses Parade. Fittingly, the last song she sang was the Irving Berlin anthem on a bicentennial special just before July 4, 1926. She died in Raleigh, North Carolina, June 17, 1986. The two numbers that I want to play for Kate Smith with Miff Mole are One Sweet Letter From You and I'm Gonna Meet My Sweetie Die. The two numbers I want to play for Kate Smith with Miff Mole are One Sweet Letter From You and I'm Gonna Meet My Sweetie Now. These were recording on February 14, 1927. She's accompanied by the Charleston Chasers, Red Nichols, trumpet, Miff Mole, trombone, Jimmy Dorsey, clarinet, alto sax, Arthur Schott, piano, Dick McDonough, banjo, guitar, Vic Burton, drums. So let's listen then to Kate Smith with Miff Mole, the Charleston Chasers, 1927.
I'm so blue,
Why don't you write? Oh dear, how I need one sweet letter from you. How I love to read one sweet letter from you. You know that you love me, so worried and blue. I'll always keep singing, oh, what'll I do? Though it's not fair, and you don't care for me dearly, just drop me a line if you'll just sign yours sincerely. You know that I'm praying all the night and day through. Just hope I'll get one sweet letter from you.
Thank you.
Since the last two numbers had the Charleston Chasers as accompanists, I thought it would be appropriate to play two recordings of the Charleston Chasers, but these are not the original Charleston Chasers from the 1920s. These are from the 1990s, and currently they're still playing. I read from All Music Review by Scott Yano. In the 1920s, the Charleston Chasers were a studio group that played jazz-influenced hot dance music and often featured Phil Napoleon, Red Nichols, Dorsey Brothers, and or Benny Goodman. The 10-piece unit featured on this stomp-off set, and it's in fact titled The Charleston Chasers Pleasure Mad. Has no relation to the original band except occasionally the hot dance style it performs. Based in England and not including any notable names, the Charleston Chasers does a fine job of interpreting 23 songs from the mid to the late 1920s, consisting of two trumpets, one trombone, three reeds, and a four-piece rhythm section, two of whom take period vocals. The ensemble sounds particularly spirited on such numbers as I Found Around About Way to Heaven, My Blackboards Are Bluebirds Now, Drop Me Off at Harlem, Clementine, and The Man from the South, sometimes recreating earlier recordings and occasionally coming up with fresher interpretations. The two numbers that I want to play from these Charleston Chasers are first Hophead and then A Girlfriend of Boyfriend of Mine. These were recording September 2nd, 1994.
Thank you. to be a boyfriend of a girlfriend of mine. He used to take me places, I loved to dance and dine, but he turned out to be a new friend of an old friend of mine. He taught me love was just a joke and what a broken heart meant. He even had me go and get a kitchenette apartment. He thrilled me with his glances, his kisses were like wine, but he turned out to be a close friend of a Scotch friend of mine.
Well, I hope you have enjoyed this WBIX, the program featuring Miff Mall as accompanist of several vocalists from the 1920s. Miff Mall was a formidable trombone player. He's my favorite trombone player, in fact. And it is so sad that his reputation faded away as he became older, and that he died in obscurity. Well, let's get back to Bix now. Come to the end of today's edition of Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. Please join me again in 4 weeks over WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website, for a new edition of the program. Until next time, This is Albert Haim saying, through his music, Bix is alive.